Okay, good morning, everyone. Let's turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, and all right, let's just read the whole thing. Starting at verse 11, the prodigal son. Luke 15:11, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. And he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be in need. And he went and attached himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he was longing to fill his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger? I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. And he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of his servants and began inquiring what these things might be. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound. But he became angry and was not willing to go in, and his father came out and began entreating him. But he answered and said to his father, look, for so many years I have been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me a kid that I might be merry with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with harlots, you killed a fattened calf for him. And he said to him, my child, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to be merry and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead, and has begun to live, and was lost, and has been found. Amen. I just want to kind of piggyback from the message on Sunday that Michael gave. And if you guys, if you were at the morning service, right, then he shared a different message at the 2 o'clock service. Are both of them online? Okay, they're both online. I'll tell you, the 2 o'clock one was just hilarious, man. I was seriously busting a gut listening to that. And so he talked about this, and I felt like I should kind of add some things along with the passage he shared. He shared on Sunday about the idea of a servant and a son. You know, what's a servant and what's a son? You know, and there's no better picture that really depicts the discrepancy of the two than in this passage. But you have to understand in context. And so when he starts chapter 15, he gives the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. But he gives these parables, and then obviously the lost son, but he gives his parables in response to the Pharisees going to Jesus and basically saying, you know, how can you eat with sinners and prostitutes and these kind of things? And so into the Pharisees' mind, you know, there was no connection with sinners. You know, there was no connection with the lost, you know, in essence. You know, into the mind of the religious establishment, they were sons, and, you know, and these people were not. You know, and it was very clear they were proud of their sonship. You know, they were the children of God, the children of Israel. And sure, these other people were also the children of Israel, but they were not their brothers or sisters, you know. And so there was a very sharp discrepancy in their outlook of people during that time. And so Jesus throws the first two parables, and he tells them, look, you know, no, regardless of what you think about yourself, this is what the Father thinks, you know. And when one repents, right, he'll say, then, you know, everyone rejoices, right? And so, you know, he's giving us, he's giving the Pharisees and the leaders a picture of really the blackness of their heart, but not much, better said than the parable of the lost son. And so we might take a few days going through this. And so maybe today we'll talk about the young son, and then tomorrow we'll talk about the older son, okay? And obviously, you know, the young son is really talking about the people that were lost, right? Obvious. The older son is God's, or Jesus is talking to them about themselves, okay? That, you know, I mean, in summary, you know, you think you're a son, but you actually act like a slave, you know? And the other side to the lost, you know, you think you're slaves, but you're actually sons, right? And so you can see this contrast of these two messages that are coming in one story. So let's focus on the younger son, and I just want to get to one point and lead us in prayer in that, but because, you know, Michael did a good job of you know, exegeting some of these passages, and so I don't have to, you know, do a lot of that stuff. But, you know, one thing that I want you to notice, you know, in this thing is when we go down to verse 23, okay? And he says, "And bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost, has been found." And they began to be merry. Now, this is the heart of the father, you know, more than anything else, that he says, and if you break this down in the sentence structure in Greek, it's the article actually is highlighted, and the key is, he says, "And bring the fattened calf." In this Jewish home, right, what normally would happen is that if you're preparing for a feast, if you're preparing for a big party or something, like, you know your son was going to get married or something like that, you would specify one calf, you know, and this calf would get like double, triple portion of food. You know, they would, you know, be the prize, you know, in the whole stable, you know, and all the other calves, you know, they would get their food and stuff. But every family, you know, would pick one calf, and this calf is the fattened calf. In other words, this is the one that is prepared for the celebration, right? Now, so all the calves, and so you can imagine, you know, if you know anything about, you know, cows, calves don't last that long because they cease to become calves, right? They grow up, you know, and so there's a specific time frame. And so in this picture, right, you can imagine, we don't know how long this guy was away, but long enough to spend quite a fortune, you know, and get to a place where he's got nothing, you know. But so he says, bring the fattened calf. And I would suggest to you that there were probably many, many, many calves that were the fattened calf, you know, and then their time, you know, had expired. And so they had to pick another one to become the fattened calf. And what I want to say by that and through that, right, is simply this, right, that God, you know, he prepares things for us, right? It's not so much, you know, for his sons and daughters, right? It's not like God does things on happenstance. God prepares, right, joy, and he prepares life, and he prepares gifts, and he prepares these wonderful things for his sons and daughters. Right, that's what God does. He, in the few verses before, if you remember, it says early in the morning he looked from a distance, right? You know, and when he finally saw him, right, he ran to his son. Now, you know, bringing back, you know, case in point, right? God prepares. You know, he's not, you know, sitting back, waiting for things to happen, you know. I mean, but he's looking and he's longing, you know, for the return, longing for, you know, whatever else is going on. And then what happens is, you know, he sees from a far distance, and if you're a Jewish person listening to what Jesus is saying, you would have been astounded, right? Because in Jewish culture, right, Jewish men don't run, right? Slaves run. You know, servants run, but, you know, men, especially of this kind of stature, this guy's, they don't run. And so, you know, in order for this Jewish man to run, he would have probably had to take his garment and you know, wrap it around his leg, you know, kind of what Elijah did, you know, when he came down from Mount Carmel. And then he ran, you know, to meet with the son. And then, you know, just pours love and favor on him, and he says, okay, now go kill the calf that we have prepared for a long time, right, for the son to come back. You know, and so when we think about our life, and maybe, you know, right now some things are not working out as well as you would expect or hope to do, or, you know, whatever's going on, you have to recognize, right, that God's not sweating it so much. You know, he knows that the time is coming. You know, I think in Haggai it says, for the vision is just for the appointed time. Though it tarry, wait for it, for it surely come. You know, and so God, you know, you don't go out looking, you know, every morning unless you expect something to happen, right? You know, it's like, have you ever, like, waited for a package to arrive? Like, you know it's going to arrive, but you're waiting, and so you're always, you know, you're in anticipation, and, you know, you always go down to the mailbox or whatnot. I mean, in the States, you know, the mailman comes to you, and so you're always kind of, you know, waiting, you know, for that to happen, because you know that something is coming, right? There's an anticipation, you know, that something is there. God, you know, is looking out because he is anticipating something is going to happen and something is going to come, right? And so, and he prepares, you know, for when that thing happens, he's made the preparations for it. And for a long time, you don't fatten a calf in one day, right? I mean, it's a whole process by which this happens, right? You know, to all to say as we go into prayer, God has prepared in advance some things for his sons and daughters, right? When he's looking out, he has already anticipated. In other words, it's going to come, you know. And so I'm giving you God's bird's eye view, right? And so now I want to take us to God's bird's eye view, you know. And whatever's stalling or waiting or whatnot, God, he's already anticipated that it's going to come, you know. And not only has he anticipated, but he's made preparations, right, for when that does come, that he could release, you know, the fullness of, in this case, would be the celebration or the party, you know, that would come upon our lives. So let's close our eyes today. It's a point of meditation. Is there anything right now that's been delaying or delayed in your life? And I want to say, as a son and daughter of God, he is right now preparing your destiny. He has been preparing. You know, if Psalm 139, when David says that he knew us from the foundations of the world, right? I mean, you're talking, that's a pretty long time. And we were worrying about 2010 or 2009, you know, or we've been waiting for 5 years, 10 years. I mean, it's almost silly to think he doesn't care for us. You know, and I just want the Holy Spirit to put this reassurance into your hearts this morning that he is right now preparing a party for you, a feast. I'm not talking just in heaven. I'm talking about here on earth. Heaven is just icing on the cake. You know, the Bible says that he has prepared work in advance for us to do. That's one side, but he's prepared our destinies right now. And so just ask the Lord to just seal that into our hearts today as Pastor Nate leads us in a song of worship.
You are so good to me. You heal my broken heart. You are my Father in heaven. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. I will sing again. You ride upon the clouds. You lead me to the truth. You are the Spirit inside me. You ride upon the clouds. You lead me to the truth. You are the Spirit inside me. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. I will sing again. You are my strong melody. You are my dancing rhythm. You are my perfect love. And I'll sing again forever. You poured out all your blood. You are my Jesus who loves me. You died upon the cross. You poured out your blood. You are my Jesus who loves me. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. I will sing again.
Let's spend some time and let's pray over our community, and let's pray that as we're waiting for the promises of God and you know, waiting for our destinies to be unfolded, that we would just continue to trust Him and we would continue to walk in obedience, right? That, you know, our obedience would intersect with God's destiny. And let's just cover our church and people around us, and especially people that are waiting upon the Lord for something. Let's pray Isaiah 40 over them, that they will gain new strength, will rise up with wings like eagles. Right? They'll walk and not become tired, and run and not become weary. And let's just cover it. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight. This is be the last week for this season. Let's lift up Lam Kwai Fong House Church and Matt and Sophia for McDonald Road, for Janie and Ken, Seymour Crest for Haijin Chisan, and Star Street with the Morels. And I know a few of them are having their Thanksgiving dinner tonight, and let's ask God to really bring about just a real spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving in the house church for what God has done through the season. So let's look at the house churches, ask God to really meet with each of them today. Let's go to our mission focus, and let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's ask God to just continue to breathe life into this city, that He would touch every part of our society, government, and to the economics and the education, and the Lord really move upon us. Pray for the churches and ask God to really begin to bring revival through the church. Let's pray specifically for Christian Zheng Sheng College. I think I told you guys last time that they were just cleared by the ICAC. And let's pray for just God's favor, and as they look for a new building site, and for the students, that they would get off the drugs and really draw near to the Lord during this time. Pray for Alman as he leads his school. Let's also pray for Sports Services International. It's a big week coming up, a few weeks, and the Asian Games are starting this Saturday here. And so there's quite a bit of outreach efforts going on to reach the 2,300 athletes and coaches that will be coming to Hong Kong from this weekend on. And so let's lift them up as they minister using sports. Let's pray for YWAM and for Godwin, and Shanti Ministries, and they're about ready to embark also on their Christmas outreach as well. So just really pray for God's grace and protection over them. And so let's lift them up to the Lord and ask for God's grace to cover them during this time. And pray for Face to Face and Jimmy and Grace, and ask God to continue to use them and to minister to people throughout Hong Kong and inner healing and prayer ministry, and also for Feed the Hungry, for Armanda as she continues in her labors throughout Asia. And so let's lift up our ministries and ask God to really come and move through us in Hong Kong. And lastly, let's pray for our building search and for our fundraising. Let's ask God to just continue to touch and minister through our church, and that faith would grow, and God would just really provide some amazing things. We've already heard actually a few just incredible testimonies of people pledging and God providing supernaturally, and maybe during the town hall we'll share some of them. But I mean, it's really exciting stuff right now. So let's just continue to ask God to really give us favor so we can find a new worship hall that we can continue to do what we do as a church. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we bless you today, Father. You are so good to us, Lord. And we see your hand upon us, God. We see how you prepare in advance, God, our destinies and our callings, God, and all the wonderful things that you bring into our lives, Lord. And it doesn't happen by chance, God. You prepare these things, Father. And we just thank you for that, Lord. And we continue to lift up members of our community, God, that are still waiting on you. Lord, we pray, Lord God, that as they wait, Lord, that they would, faith and trust, God, would continue to grow, Lord. We bless you. Watch over us, God. We thank you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you today. Please continue to pray. If you are not doing anything, we're actually moving offices today. And so we'd love to have some of your help.